Schon ein paar Samstag.
First of all, it's great being here. It's great being here. I'm glad that it worked out. That Rav Ezra is giving Sichas Moshe tonight, and he's so true to the mode that he feels uncomfortable giving Sicha. Twice in one day. So it was a chiti. And I'll tell you the truth, that I was really racking out my brains throughout the week about what to speak about. I in general, Michal, when I don't feel comfortable in it's not framing something right in my mind. I don't feel comfortable in the Sichas Musa slot. Maybe it's probably, how do they say, baggage. We're all walking around with our baggage. So if Sichas Musa in your mind means something that is associated with harsh, someone's a Rebbe standing in front of a room and telling you, you guys gotta get your act together. You're losers. You know how many of you are davening and you're talking lashon hara and where's the hasmoda and where's the chesed? And those are the associations when they go into someone's mind and hear sichos moser and not thinking that that's really effective and productive, so you shy away from a sichos moser kind of slot. And that's not what sichos tachshini. That's not what a sichos moser slot has to be or should be. And it can be a slot in which you're spending time on an idea connected to avodas Hashem. So not sichos moser in the classic fire and brimstone sense, but in the sense of, trying to clarify an idea. Once I went into that mode, when I was debating whether I should agree or Reza said, okay, you know, so I got over that hurdle, and I said, okay, well, I spent time on an idea. I came to an idea that it's always best to speak about something that for some reason, even if you don't know why, but you know that it resonates with you, you're connected to it for some reason, the odds are, if you're interested in it, you'll at least be able to share it in a way where you don't put too many guys to sleep. So I went with something that I was interested in. So I'll try to prevent even the big masmidim that were up late last night and are challenged right now with staying awake. Hopefully we'll stay engaged. We'll start off with the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, which is the Gemara itself is jumps out as being saying something wild. Reb Zeira Ashkech La Reb Yehuda Davekoi Apitcha Dbei Chamua. Reb Zeira found Reb Yehuda standing or sitting, but he was there. He was there in front of the Beis Hamerchatz, the Chazia, and he saw the Hava Bedicha Date. He saw Reb Yehuda's in a good mood. This is an opportunity. Time to grab Reb Yehuda for a moment of Torah, because he's in a good mood and he'll agree, that's it. He's in a good mood, I got him. Normally I can't get him, but I got him. V'ibay mine kol chalale alma. He saw he's in a good mood and he can ask from him any of the secrets of the world, and there should not, this is my mistake. As Itzi knows, I was very upset about it. This is my mistake. I put in trying to help and I hurt. I put the period here in the wrong place. Everybody, I asked Aryan to bring in some whiteout. Hopefully, if he gets to his office and finds it, I'll pass around some whiteout to erase that terrible black point there, which is wrong. If you would ask any secrets of the world, have amale, period. He saw that he can ask him any secrets of the world, and Rav Yehuda would reveal the secrets and you maybe elaborate. Maybe he wasn't usually so talkative, and he was in the right mood, and he was able to ask him a question. So what do you ask Rabbi Yehuda when you have an opportunity, when he's in a golden moment, that he's in a good mood, and he'll reveal all the secrets of the world? What does he ask? Amale, so Rabbi Zera asked him, my time easy maskin berisha vahader imri. Why, when there's a flock, do the goats walk in front and then the sheep afterwards? That's the question. Amale, Rabbi Yehuda explained, kibriyaso shel olam. The reason is, it's in sync with the way of the creation of the world. The bereisha chashucha v'hadar nahora. First, there's darkness, and then there's light. Vayerev, vayboker. What does that have to do with goats and sheep? Because most goats are black, most sheep are white, and most sheep are white. So first, the black goats, the dark ones first, the goats are at the beginning, and then the sheep afterwards that are white, they come afterwards. That's stage two. That is Darka Shalom, Tach Briyasa Shalom. We hear, even that's what the Gemara says, and we hear there's fertile ground here. There's an idea that is being said. What's the idea here? So Rav Kook explains in his Perush Anagadita, Einaya. Rav Kook opens up with shepherd life. Chayei haroim hem hachayim hameviim et haadam lidei hidbonenut sichlit bria. Hidbonenut pnimit. Shepherd life brings man to... Why is shepherd life valuable? First of all, how do we see that shepherd life is valuable? From Parshas HaShavua? So you have, that's in a couple lines, it's in bold, the pasuk from Parshas HaShavua. Vayomer Aparo Echav, Ma Ma'aseichem, Vayomer Aparo, Roe Tzon Avadecha, Gam Anachnu, Gam Avoseinu. The Yovas are described as Roe Tzon, Neshvatim, Gam Anachnu, Gam Avoseinu, are shepherds. The Yovas are shepherds. David HaMelech is a shepherd. What's the Indian of being a shepherd? What's the milo of a shepherd? What do you say? Naftali, what's the milo of a shepherd? I asked you, what's the milo of a shepherd? It doesn't make a difference if you heard one word beforehand. What's something that advantageous, that something positive that being a shepherd gives you, offers? It offers you patience, says Naftali. So don't say you don't know, you know. Yeah.
They're always outside saying, like, God's patience.
So the shepherds are outside. They see the world of nature. Why patience, by the way, Naftali? Why does being a shepherd... How does being a shepherd influence someone to be patient?
The shepherd himself?
The shepherd itself. A mila in being... What benefits, spiritual benefits, are there in becoming a shepherd? Find the office of a shepherd, or shepherds.
It
teaches you patience. You have to take it easy. You got to wait, okay? Or out in the world of nature. It's best of it's a long time with your thoughts.
Care for others.
Care for others.
Oh, yeah.
So Rav Kook says, let's hear what Rav Kook says. A lot of beautiful ideas you guys mentioned. Chayei haroim hem chayim hameviim es adam lidei hidbonenut sichlit bria. Healthy contemplation. Thinking. You have time to think in a healthy way. Hidbonenut pnimit. Internal contemplation. Lo chakranit asuya umalachutit. Malachutit is artificial. Not not something which messes with your brain in an artificial way, but you're in an environment, you're in a space, you're in a zone where you can think in a healthy way, in a clean way, in a natural way. Chayim shashituf im hateva. Gadol u'mod also, some of you guys said. You're out in nature. Ve'ein avoda rabba mafrechet ataguf. He's even comparing it to agriculture. He's saying, is it a maila in a shepherd as opposed to farming, because farming and agriculture is hard physical labor. It's mafreches ataguf u'madbiya et kol hakoach ba'omkei hachomriyut כתוכניתה של עבודת האדמה הרגילה. Regular עבודת האדמה, agriculture work, takes a toll on the body, as opposed to נמצאת בעבודת המראה. In being a ro'eh, you're not working hard physically. You're out in nature. You have time to think. You have time to think, to be with yourself. Let the thoughts develop. Al kein hayu avosenu. החושבים הגדולים של משפחת האדם, the great thinkers of mankind, the avos, the great thinkers of mankind, were shepherds bedafka, because it lends itself to healthy thought. It brings then the pasuk in Parshas Hashavua that we mentioned. That's reason number one. That's almost right, this is practical. This is a practical point that Rav Kook is mentioning as far as shepherds. And now moving on within, we're talking about being in an environment that allows clean, healthy thought. And now we come to the process of thought. And the development, the process of development of thoughts. Haderech shel hitalut ha-machshava, hitalut ha-machshava, lifting up machshava, taking thoughts to a higher level. Matchil hu tamid, the process works where it starts, meirayonot amumim, machshavot mitushtashot. Thank you. Rayonot amumim, dim, blurry thoughts, shemitoch hatmuna ha'arpelit, through the cloudy thoughts, when we start thinking about anything, whatever it is that we're trying to understand, at first things are blurry. At first things are not clear. We don't get it. Aval bitocho, within this state of lack of clarity, what is there? Anan gadol shel dimyon. What's dimyon?
Imagination.
Lack of clarity. Imagination can take you into all different directions. It's not clear, black and white. So we have this cloud of dimyon. But still, aval b'tocho otzar gadol nimtza, there's a great treasure, shebirvot hayamim, with ribu yamim, with more days, with more time, hamachshava mitbareret, the thought becomes clear, u'mitoch hachoshech yavo ha'or. The process is moving from choshech. I don't understand. There's a blur. I don't get it. There's confusion. And the process is, המחשבה מתבררת מתוך החושך יבוא האור. That's how it works. That's how the process of attaining clarity works. From first, lack of clarity, choshech, and then or. And this is what Rav Yehuda is teaching at outside the Beis HaMerchatz. A life lesson. And the importance, taking a step back and realizing that this is how you want to understand, the first step in understanding is understanding that we don't understand. We're in the darkness at first. If you start too early in the process to think already that you're in or, you never get to the or. And we don't like being in choshech. Nobody likes being in choshech. It's uncomfortable. For a few reasons. We want to know. We want to be in the know. Everyone wants to know. There's a lack, there's something unsettling. Why are we, when you go into a dark room, you don't have yishuv hadas. There's something, we're not settled because we're missing a little bit our stability. We feel vulnerable. We don't like feeling vulnerable. And sometimes our desire to feel stability and not to feel vulnerable takes over in such a strong way at the expense of us really knowing. So we say that we know just so that we avoid that recognition that we don't know. I remember one of my kids was learning how to swim. One of my kids was learning how to swim, and I was in the pool at the time that he was taking swimming lessons. And my son kept on insisting, I know how to do it. I know how to do it. Yeah, I know. Like the teacher was trying to explain, the swimming instructor was trying to explain to him what you should do. And he was so insistent. You know, I know. And he wasn't able to get anywhere until we got to the point where the instructor was able to get through before getting through in terms of the steps that you should take to know how to swim was to that point of recognizing, one second, like maybe to a degree, don't know. Maybe to a degree you don't know. Maybe you don't know. And it's something that we all fight against on different levels. Getting into that area of, I don't know. Because it requires patience. Right? Like Naftali said before. We want to be in control and have things done exactly at the pace that we want. And everything there, have everything that we want to know already at our hands right away. And that patience of, it's going to take time until we reach the clarity. And Yehuda is telling him, understand, this is, we're a work in progress. We don't know. There's choshech first. There's choshech, but first there's choshech. Derech b'riyasa shel olam is not just technical, that's how the world was created. But saying that's how the world works. And know this. Understand. And understand that you don't understand. And then you'll get to understand. I don't know any source. I heard someone once say over this, and I said, I don't know. I never saw it anywhere inside, but I heard someone saying over, you know, it's like, Abba Shem Tov Maisa, which... I don't know, said that when the Baal Shem Tov was looking for a shidduch for his daughter, he sent out one of, if anyone knows more details here about the story, please, because I'm just giving just the basic raw details. He sent one of his, one of his talmidim to go to a certain town. He said, go into that town, into the Beis Medrash, into that town, and find the guy who doesn't know. But not just doesn't know. The one who really knows that he doesn't know. That's the one that I want for my daughter. The sense of being vulnerable is one, again, we're always fighting against it, and I was reminded, or just when I was thinking before, after Menchufim, coming down here, thinking of a year ago when, you guys remember, when Rav Josh Gajauer's wife was Nifter. And she was a big mechanechet in Boker. And one of the things that I think of this, Rav Josh himself mentioned at the Levaya, was one of her a point that she emphasized in Chinuch. Important for a machanech is to make themselves vulnerable. When you remember that? Does anyone remember that? When you make yourself vulnerable, you're a lot more real. Also, vulnerable means, again, recognizing that we don't know, recognizing that we make mistakes. We're pulled towards not doing that because it takes away from our stability. It takes away from our feeling of comfort with ourselves, where we stand, wherever we stand. But always, whether it's connecting to other, she was saying it in the sense of a machanech, of connecting, to connect. She was talking about connecting with kids. But it's connecting with people. It's part of being real. So beyond the world of chinuch, of connecting there in a classroom situation, but it's being real with it, it's being true to ourselves. So it's okay not to know. As long as, of course, we're engaged in a process of trying to know, right? We're not talking about being satisfied with complacency, of being satisfied with not knowing. Right? This is fertile ground for this Baal Shem Tov Ma'aseh is fertile ground for a rough misnagid to attack the chassidim. Yeah, of course, they don't know anything, and they just want to stay there, not knowing anything. Right? We're not talking about that cynical side of. We're talking, of course, we're striving to know as much as possible. Let's see a little bit more. Run through the next paragraph, finish up the piece inside. Where Rav Kook continues just to elaborate on this point. המאמר הקבוע של הצון בלחתם בעדר מסכים הוא עם סדרי המחשבה האנושית עוזרים הם עניינים זה לזה. He's saying that there's a parallelism here between the flock where there's, this is showing here how the symbolism works. There's a parallelism between the flock where the black goats are at the beginning and the white sheep are afterward, and that is parallel to machshava ha'noshit, the way our thought works, the process of the development of thought, of clarification. Ilmale chayim haroim harishonim, without the first shepherds, meaning the avos, lo hayta lanu machshava achat brura v'tzula, we, later on, would not have one clear thought. Ilmale hamachshavot harpaliot, without the cloudy thoughts, shein memalot et hanefesh betchila tamid, that are always there at the beginning of the process, lo haya shum makom lekol oto aruchush, there wouldn't be room for that property here, the property of the das, of ha'oras ha'seichel, the or of the seichel, she'etze el ha'pol, that will be actualized. V'zeh noheg tamid, this is always how it works. Mitparetzet hi ha'kfutza ha'machshavtit ha'pziza, the hasty thoughts kick in first, right away, whenever someone's telling you something, you're automatic. Default mode is, I know that. And we're trying to figure something out. It's, I got it. The hasty thoughts. Dugmat eder izim shchorot yotzot buhulot, like the black goats at the beginning, running in a frenzy. Umagdimot et, look at the lashon that he uses, and they preempt the tzava hara'ayon hamiyushav. What does that mean? Tzava hara'ayon hamiyushav. Anybody? I'm not going to bitch. Tzava hara'ayon hamiyushav. Tzava? Tzava? Army? Ra'ayon? Thought? Miyushav? Settled. The army of settled thought. That's the part of Lashon here that he's using for settled thought. First comes the black goats of the rush of lack of clarity of thoughts, and only afterwards comes the army of thoughts that are the yishuv hadas, settled thoughts, afterwards. Shirak mimenu tavo ha'ora, or only comes from them. Matimahi lefi zeh ha'technun shel ha'chazion shemidrashem b'kol ed b'chayei ha'ro'im lemarei ha'eder shebo kol מעייניו, ותכונת סדר המחשבות ההולכות ועולות יוצאות מתוך עדר המעונן, המלא מחשקים, from the cloud of darkness, שהוא מקדים לבוא, that comes first, עד אשר אחריו יבוא עדר הרעיונות המבוררים, afterwards comes the flock of clarified thoughts, לשמע בשכל טוב, להיות לבסיסים, they should be a foundation of this, לחיים הרוחניים, והמוסריים for our spiritual and ethical life של האדם בכל ענייני חייו. וזוהי בריאוסו של עולם בכל גווניה. This is the way of the world in all of its shades, in all areas. This is how it works. This is the process. ולעולם לא יוכל אדם לזרוק את המחשקים לגמרי. As much as we want to get rid and go straight to the ore, straight to the second stage, we can't do that. That's not how the brain works. That's not how our mind works. That's not how the process works. We have to go through this initial process of the lack of clarity to get to the clarity. La'olam lo yuchal adam lizrok et ha-machshakim legamrei. You can't throw the choshech away at the beginning completely. Ki mehem yavo el ha'ora. From there, we come to light. Ha-dimyon moshel banu, v'anu tzichim dafka mitoch from the darkness of the confusion and the imagination running wild, lavo el derech ha-chochma ha-meira, from there to come to chochma ha-meira me'ikora chashucha v'hadar nehora. First, there's choshech, and then there's light. Be'ezrat Hashem, she'nizkeh. To use some patience and to take advantage of the moments that are ripe. It's a b'china a little bit. I think right now, looking in the room, I would say that as Moshe can testify for us, Kabim Chazik, us, that there's the zone we're in right now is a little bit like shepherd life, where you don't have the rush of the everyday life, which makes it more challenging to contemplate matters of the nefesh, of the seichel, of the ruach. It's possible. There also I imagine sometimes on the train a little bit you're able to relax and you can have some shepherd moments maybe over there. But in a way, the time now out in the hills of the Ayalon Valley, is a time where we can more easily tap into that shepherd mode, the roa of the derech of the avos of David HaMelech, of avoseinu of roa etzon avadecha gam anachnu v'gam avoseinu, and in shepherd mode, recognizing what's going on in the flock and recognizing this process and the humility that's needed. Being vulnerable sometimes by saying we don't know, and that's okay, because that will lead towards us, without Hashem, reaching that point of clarity of or of the lavan of the whiteness and the clarity that comes afterwards, without Hashem.